Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. The pagans of the Roman Empire had a fear of death, understandably so. In fact, they were horrified by death. And then the Apostle Paul comes to the city called Thessalonica in about the year 49 AD. And one of the things they would have noticed about Paul, if they heard him or watched him, is that he did not have this horror picture of death. He was relatively unafraid of death and the suffering that would accompany it. And that was, of course, because Paul, what he believed, what he taught, what he confessed, was the antidote for death. The antidote was Christ. Christ crucified and risen. And so Paul had a completely different view of death compared to the horror view that the pagans had at that time. But of course, Paul was there to preach to these pagans. And of course, many of them came to believe, along with a number of Jews in Thessalonica. And now these former pagans, now Christians, they have a new understanding of death. A shockingly different understanding of death. But at the same time, we read from our text that maybe they didn't necessarily, these former pagans, they didn't necessarily put all their former teachings aside. Keep in mind, this was a very young congregation, and all the converts there had come either out of Judaism or paganism. And so it was a little hard for them to maybe shake some of their pagan beliefs, including some aspects of death. So they may have been thinking, okay, yes, we believe in Jesus. We have forgiveness of our sins. And we know that Jesus is coming back, probably within our lifetime. But what about these people who die before he comes back? Will they have to somehow experience some of these horrors of death that we had when we were members of the pagan religion in our midst? And so what Paul does in our text is he gives these former pagans a better and more complete understanding of what is to come. Now, I assume that most of you have not recently come out of paganism, although some of you probably come out of agnosticism or atheism. But the words here from Paul are intended not just for those who are coming out of paganism recently, but for all of us, because we all experience people who are loved by us and who are Christians who die. And of course, we have to face our own death. So, to make this a little more personal, let's do it this way. Let's suppose that on the last day, All of us here are gathered together in a cemetery. And it's a cemetery where many of our loved ones are buried. Loved ones who died in Christ. And as we look up into the sky, we see Christ descending with all his power and all his glory, with his thousands and thousands of angels with him. And we also hear three things. We hear this majestic trumpet, which can only be described as the trumpet of God. We hear this amazing voice, which can only be described as the voice of the mightiest of angels, an archangel. And then, most importantly, we hear, and our text translates it as a cry, but it's probably better translated, a loud command. We hear a loud command coming from the voice of Jesus himself as he is descending. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 5 who will hear that command and who will obey that command. He says, "For a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear my voice and will come out." So again, we're in the cemetery. And as we're watching and listening, we see somehow our loved ones are coming out of the grave. They're being raised from the dead. There's my wife who died of cancer. There's my 80-year-old father, died when he was 80. There's your husband who unexpectedly died of a heart attack. There's your mother who died in a tragic car accident. There's your baptized sister who didn't even live to be 10 days old. But as they rise, we almost don't recognize them, because their bodies have changed. That's not a cancerous body. That's not the body of an 80-year-old man. That's not a weak infant body. That's not the body of a woman who has been in a terrible, fatal car accident. They all have honorable bodies. Glorified bodies, powerful bodies, immortal bodies, imperishable bodies. And they all have bodies that are bearing the image of the one who called them out of the grave. They're bearing the image of Christ. They're bearing his righteousness. And they're all going up to meet him in the air. And as we're watching them rise, we say, "Hey, what about me?" And all of a sudden, right then and there, you and I start rising. And we're changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, with imperishable, immortal, glorified, powerful, honorable, perfect bodies, all of them bearing the image of the one we are rising to meet. And we're caught up in the clouds to meet them. But most importantly, we are rising to meet the one who called all of us. You know, we're caught up together with them who, like us, while they were here on earth, they were baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. They were those who lived while they were here in daily repentance. They were those while they were here who confessed Christ and lived for Christ. They were those who while they were here suffered many things and then they died, but then they rose and we rose with them. And we meet not only them in their glorified, beautiful bodies, but we meet the one who made it all possible. We meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Christian hope, but it's a confident, sure hope of the resurrection. And it is established by and proven by two other teachings that are mentioned in our text. Jesus died. The death of Christ was not just the death of a man, but it was the death of the Son of God in human flesh. And in that death, a death that was truly the ultimate horror, we see the sins of the whole world chained to him, including yours. We see in that death of horror, we see the wrath of God being poured out on him, Jesus paying for them, purchasing forgiveness all by himself, a forgiveness bestowed freely on all who believe. No other religion has anything like this. Nothing comes close. Christianity isn't a class by itself. But then the other great truth, Jesus rose again. If he remained dead, so should Christianity. If he remained dead, your faith is based on a lie, and your faith is useless. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And Jesus went out of his way to prove it to his disciples no less than 12 times over a period of 40 days, appearing to them over and over again. No other religion has anything close to this. And what this means is that your sins are really forgiven. And that because you believe in Christ, you also will be raised on that last day. My grandmother, she became a widow at about the age 65, but then she started dating a man by the name of Tad in her 70s. Tad was a communist and an atheist. Tad had a stroke. I went to talk to him because I wanted him to be saved. A couple of things I noticed about Tad, though, when I talked to him. Tad hated Christ. And he remained there. But Tad also had this, you know, even though he believed there was nothing beyond death, he had this great fear of death. He was horrified by death. But that's how he died. And then there was another man by the name of John. He also was a communist and an atheist. But John came to realize the evil of communism and the futility and the hopelessness of atheism. And he was brought to the truth and the comfort of Christ. He was my father-in-law. And when John died, he had no fear of death. He welcomed death. Why? Because of Christ and because of the words we find here in 1 Thessalonians. And therefore, as Paul says at the end of our text, encourage one another, or comfort one another, or strengthen one another with these words. You are clothed in Christ's righteousness. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord, let at last thine angels come. To Abram's bosom bring me home, that I may die unfearing. And in its narrow chamber keep my body safe in peaceful sleep until thy reappearing. And then from death awaken me, that these mine eyes with joy may see, O Son of God, thy glorious face, my Savior and my fount of grace. Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer attend, my prayer attend, and I will praise thee without end. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.